Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Kevin Blanchard. He is the chairman of the Comprehensive Plan Citizens Advisory Committee. We know that many of our listeners have heard over the past few months, Carly Alm-Labar has been in here, Steve Oob, and some others talking about the Lafayette Comprehensive Plan. It's in its third phase, I guess. You all have had a couple different forums,
That's right. You're
coming into a time where people can choose between these plans that have been come up with. But for those people who are still unfamiliar with the comprehensive plan, could you recap what's happened, how it began, and what's happened up to this point?
Well, actually, this is the third attempt in Lafayette to have a comprehensive plan. Back in the 70s, there was a group that came in from out of town. Some architects were brought here by the local architects. Steve Oob was one of those folks. And they sort of gave an outline of where they thought Lafayette was going and where, you know, where we should be headed. And they kind of warned us about some things that were that we probably should have listened to back then. One was, you know, you're about to build this mall in the south part of town, and there's not really infrastructure there, so you know, you might have some traffic problems based on that. But that plan, you know, was eventually sort of put on the shelf. There wasn't a lot of political will to make any changes. When I got here, I was originally a reporter for the Advocate, for the bureau here, and one of the first things I started covering was the second attempt, which was Lafayette in a New Century, the Link Plan. And that was tons and tons of volunteers put just hundreds of hours of work into that. It was several years long sort of process, and we have a lot of fruits of that effort. Again, those things have, by and large, for the most part, sort of set on a shelf. Some of those things have been implemented, but it wasn't really a comprehensive approach. And so this is the third plan, and I've been kind of a downer up to this point, and so I'm going to tell you why it's different this time. What's different this time is we've actually the city has put some money into this. We've got a consultant that's come in from out of town that sort of does this thing for a living and understands the ins and outs, and we've been putting a lot more effort this time into getting the public actually involved because, you know, like I said, the first time it was a group of architects that came and told us. The second time it was a very dedicated group of volunteers, but there was no real public outreach involved there. So we've had public outreach for the last year now to kind of come up to where we're at now, and that's the big difference. We've already had thousands of people participate in this plan, and before it's all said and done, we'll have thousands more. And that way, we'll end up with a plan that doesn't just sit on a shelf somewhere, but that folks know about and they're ready, they're excited about, and they're ready to see get implemented.
So, what has happened in this process for this particular plan, the comprehensive plan? What's happened so far?
So far, the first round that we had was basically where folks got to come and say, here's what I like about Lafayette, here's what I don't like about Lafayette. So they were able to look and met around tables and talked about those sorts of things. And the idea there is you come up with a vision, you know. It's a community shared vision of what we like. And you and I or anybody on the street or a coffee shop anywhere has had the same conversation, you know. Mm-hmm. What do you love about Lafayette, you know? And then the opposite side of that coin, gosh, the traffic's terrible, you know. But we wanted to establish sort of a baseline and to get us all on the same page and know where we wanted to go. The second phase, the second round was the consultant has been doing a lot of research, compiling data, making projections to sort of see the hard numbers to say, well, here's where we are now, you know, when it comes to population growth patterns. And then here's where we project that out into the future. And the picture that they showed us was a population that is increasingly going into the unincorporated areas of the parish. That's where more and more houses are being built, subdivisions are being built, and sort of a decreasing quality of the inner core of the city. So, you know, some of the corridors have gotten where the traffic's so bad that they're, you know, folks don't like going on them anymore. and then what we asked people was, okay, well, given the situation, given these patterns, given, you know, that's where folks are headed, what do you think we should do about that? We've got 90,000 more people that are expected to move into this parish in the next 25, 30 years. I look around the parish, and I'm not sure exactly where we're going to put those folks, and especially if we look in the unincorporated area of the parish where there is more pressure and more available land for those folks to go, we've kind of taken all the high land. You know, I mean, there was a reason why the folks who came here
built where they did,
exactly. And so so not only is it going to be more difficult to develop in those lower line areas of the parish, it's going to be more expensive. It's going to be more expensive for private development, and it's going to be more expensive for the taxpayers. And so part of the second round exercise was we asked people, well, here's the pattern. Here's the status quo. Here's sort of where we've gotten with no plan. What ways forward do you see out of this? You know, whether it's trying to concentrate development in different areas of the parish, places where we already have infrastructure in place, or is it, you know, increased use of different modes of transit, you know, a better bus system, bike paths, better pedestrian areas? Are there other infrastructure improvements that need to be made? Is there a place where roads need to be upgraded? You know, and so what happened at the end of that, that was the end of last year. The folks, the consultants took those maps, and there were dozens and dozens and dozens of maps with stickers on them and comments, and they identified sort of the three different most popular approaches, I guess, that people in Lafayette had identified. And so the third round, which is coming up on May 14th and May 15th, we'll actually be presenting those options to people and asking them to choose. I mean, so the first two rounds have been, you know, they've been fun, they've been great, mm-hmm. but it's been sort of this, you know, 8, 9, 10 people sitting around a table and talking, which
but
is
several of those tables.
Several of those tables, right? I mean,
lots of tables, yeah.
But it was sort of a cooperative, mm-hmm. you know, thought exercise mm-hmm. that was going on. This round is a lot more like a vote. Mm-hmm. So if there's someone that's out there that's thinking, I don't know if I want to show up or not. In the last rounds, there was probably someone like you that was sitting at a table that probably said some of the stuff that you would have said. So you could let that person do it for you this time. Turnout counts this time. So you really do need to come out there. You need to get your community organizations out there. You need to get your neighbors out there, your friends out there, because it's important.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the first set of forums was really, as you said, feel good. People, there were no restrictions. People could just say what they wanted, what they liked, what they envisioned. And then after that, there was kind of a reality check about what's actually happening here,
right.
And how do we take your hopes and dreams, and with the projections we have and the limitations we have, how do we put that all together? So who created these options that came out of these forums that will be presented in mid-May?
Well, the short answer, the easier answer, but not the complete answer, mm-hmm. is that we did. Mm-hmm. You know, that we were the ones that came up with those patterns. But what we did then after that was the consultants took those sorts and identified the three main approaches. And then what the city has done on top of that, and this is another, I think, really strong aspect of this plan, was they identified, okay, well, you know, this – the do-nothing approach, for example, the plan, you know, the no-plan plan will cost us several million more dollars to build new roads to support that plan, and several million dollars for drainage projects. And they sort of identified the context that we're talking about. And so not only do we sort of have like this these options that are, you know, generally these three approaches to dealing with growth, but we will be able to tell people, here's what it costs you, or alternatively, here's what it saves you. And it's not just about money. Some of the different approaches, for example, the context that we're going to give people says, if you pick this approach, this is how many more people will live within a quarter mile of a park, or within a quarter mile of a school, or within walking distance of a major shopping area. And so folks can sort of see, like, when they make a decision, you know, I've had some people ask me before, some of my Tea Party friends, and they've said, which is the plan that's going to raise my taxes? You know, what's the raise my taxes option, you know, so I don't vote for that. And I tell them, because it's the dead honest truth, doing nothing is the most expensive thing we can do. Those 90,000 people that are going to be moving here under the current trend, 25,000 new acres of land in the unincorporated area of the parish is going to have to be developed to put those people. Set aside what I said about, you know, flood zones and just where are we going to put those people. But our parish general fund right now is broke. We have a $3 million deficit where the parish general fund has been basically propped up by $3 million in city taxpayer money. Next year, that's projected to be $6 million. So not only do we not have anywhere to put them, we don't have any money to pay for it. And so we need to turn our attention away from the normal pattern of just moving further and further and further out into the parish and say, how do we get the best return for taxpayer dollars? You know, now, because we don't have unlimited funds, because we do have a pretty conservative parish that does like to keep taxes pretty low, how do we make better decisions with that money so that we're not just building a road to service one subdivision, but maybe we're turning back to the internal part of the city and saying, how do we make what we already have better? How do we take what infrastructure is already in place and get a better return on investment for taxpayers there? And, you know, by denser growth, by denser development, because those things alternatively, or what they additionally do, is they make a more walkable, livable community. You know, we have examples of that already in town. You know, downtown, the Oil Center, Freetown, River Ranch, all these places are valuable to people because they're somewhere where you can get out of your house and walk down the street to the store or walk down the street to go see a music venue, where you actually have a life outside of a car. Mm-hmm. And we need to think about that.
You know, I think the question too, I mean, aside from politics or what party you're in or how you approach it that way, there is something culturally around here that tends towards the laissez-faire.
Absolutely.
To let it just happen. And that is both equally the joy of living here and the frustration of living
Absolutely.
Here, isn't it? So you wrote this really lovely article in ABiz called Living on the Hedge, and it addresses many of those issues. And tell us just why should we not be laissez-faire? I mean, you've mentioned some things, but you really get into the meat of it here about what is going to happen if we are laissez-faire, that we have all of these people who love our culture, have moved here because of the culture, our children stay here because of the culture. What do you see happening if there is a laissez-faire attitude right now?
Well, I moved here, I guess, 15, 16 years ago, and I'll never leave. I love this place. And it is the culture, and it's the food and the music. And that's the sort of thing that we have and that we cherish here, that everyone cherishes here. And it's a beautiful thing because you don't have to invent that, and you can't invent that. That's just how we are. That's who we are. But that only gets you so far, you know, because the rest of the equation is, you know, well, I see what sort of life you can have here. I see what sort of experiences you can have here. But what about the place? You know, what about the actual place? What about, you know, if I'm a young professional, increasingly these days, you don't have to live somewhere because that's the only place you can get a job. You know, this is a new digital age, the globalization, it's all happening. The world is flatter, and increasingly you can do anything you want anywhere, you know. And so if I have choices as a young person, do I get the full sense of place here, or is there something missing? And what we have missing is sort of the quality of life aspects. We have some of the lowest park acreage in the country here in Lafayette, which is a shame considering how much we enjoy the outdoors, but you just can't do it here. You got to go somewhere else. We have some of the worst traffic in the region.
You mentioned you put us on par with some large metropolitan areas in your article.
It's depressing to say this as someone that went to LSU and has never been a fan of Baton Rouge traffic. We have the same average commute time as Baton Rouge does right now, and that's only going to get worse. And so these are the sorts of things we've got to understand, that not everybody wants to live in a subdivision. You know, that's definitely where some people want to live, and that's their choice, and that's wonderful. But increasingly, the younger generation wants to move out of the suburbs that they grew up in and live in an exciting place. With a sense of place. And so we need to make it better and easier to live downtown and to live in Freetown and have services in that area that make it a full full neighborhood, a full experience, not just a place where you come to play, but a place where you can work and live.
And you're not just talking about those young professionals coming from other places, but you're talking about people who grew up here and would like to stay near their families, but it may become increasingly not possible.
Increasingly, it's not. And I have plenty of friends that have moved to Austin or Houston or Dallas or New Orleans, and it's, you know, nobody can tell me that we don't have the culture that those places have, but we don't have the place that those places have, and we don't offer the sort of lifestyle that you can live in those places. You know, when I first moved here, a lot of the oil and gas companies had sort of taken up some of their branch offices and moved them back to Houston. I want for the next 10 to 20 years to make a project out of providing a better quality of place than what they can have in Houston, so that their employees say, I want to come back to Lafayette, not just because of the food and the music and the culture, but because the schools are so great now and because I have options on where I can live. I can live downtown. I can live a full life. I can bike. I can walk. I can have that sort of experience that is ordinarily only available in the towns that are winning the competition.
So these are really extremely practical issues that determine how our growth will happen. And that seems to be a choice that we do have at this moment. If you are just tuning in, my guest is Kevin Blanchard, and he is chairman of the Comprehensive Plan Citizens Advisory Committee. He was a journalist for many years, is now an attorney, and is working very closely with the Comprehensive Plan. We are in a phase, he described the first couple of forum opportunities, and mid-May there will be an opportunity for people to, in essence, vote on the options that have been come up with. So is there a place where people can go and read these different options?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We've gotten a great new website. You go to planlafayette.com. And the options are up. They're called the scenarios, basically. But you can see what each of those scenarios sort of offers, a description of it. As we get closer to May 14th and May 15th, we'll have more and more information that'll be available on the website. Literally, as the consultant gets more and more of it in, we publish it so that, you know, we don't want everybody just to show up on May 14th and wonder what they're going to be voting on. The job over the next few weeks is to sort of start putting that out and make sure people can have a conversation about it.
Okay. And you have a number of things that people can do as well in addition to just reading what the scenarios are. What are some of the other things?
Absolutely. There's some documents that you can sort of download there, sort of a frequently asked question, a descriptive list, so that if you want to maybe have a conversation about this and feel as if you know what you're talking about, you can read through that and sort of educate yourself. We also have, for the folks who are already initiated and who've participated and are on board and ready to help, we have a Take 10 Action Checklist, just 10 sort of ways that you can get out and do something, either by inviting someone to come speak at one of your organizations, by sharing our Facebook page and commenting on that. You know, there's all sorts of ways to get involved. And because in the end, I mean, this is the city parish government has paid for this plan. And the business community as well has sort of stepped up both financially and in kind. I'm one of a group of volunteers that is doing this for you know, just the good of the cause. But an effort like this is only successful if it's truly community-wide. And so when you're looking around and you're wondering, well, someone should do something about this, that's you. That's mm-hmm. who should do something about this.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, this is not a new idea. This is not just some modern, fangled idea. No. You mentioned some other efforts leading back to the 70s. And I mentioned that I had been reading some old articles from the Advertiser or what it was back in the 19th century, 1880s, 1890s, and reading about the business people and community members who were shaping Lafayette Parish at that time and the decisions they were making about roads and electricity and schools. And it's fascinating to see the same discussions and the decisions they made make us what we are now.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and I don't mean this to demean any politicians or elected officials, but it's really up to a community to sort of come up with this policy, to come up with the vision. You know, when Lafayette decided it was going to be the hub city, you know, and build these roads to the surrounding cities, that was a community-wide decision that then gave the elected officials their direction. You know, mm-hmm. when we decided that we were going to build LUS and provide ourselves electricity before the private industry would, that was a community decision, you know, that then gave the elected officials their direction. That's what the comprehensive plan is, and mm-hmm. maybe a less grand scheme of things. But it's the policy statement that will sort of guide our political decisions over the next few years.
Right. Again, Kevin Blanchard with the Citizens Advisory Committee for the Comprehensive Plan. May 14th and 15th, you'll have the opportunity to cast your opinion about it. But lots of things you can do now that you can find out about at the website, which is, again, Kevin?
PlanLafayette.com.
PlanLafayette.com. You can find out more information there. And where are the two sites in mid-May?
On the 14th, we're going to be at the Rosa Parks Transportation Center downtown. That's going to be from 4 to 8. And on the 15th, it'll be from 11 to 3 at the Hyman Performing Arts Center. You don't have to go from 11 to 3. It's an open house format, so you can stay as long as you want. If you want to run through and just, you know what you're looking for, you can do that. But we'll have tons of people there. They'll be able to answer your questions. There'll be stations that you actually go through that involve different exercises and sort of gauge different parts of your vote. I simplify things a little bit when I say come and vote. I mean, it's a little bit more than just coming in and saying I'm voting for option two. You got to tell us why so that we know exactly what we're talking about. But it's going to be easy and fun and exciting.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you're going to have lots of information out and about. I know that you all were in our studios making a little voiceover with one of our producers, Megan Brown, and you're going to have lots of other information out there on radio, television, print, letting people know more about it.
We've got a full campaign.
Well, thank you so much, Kevin Blanchard, again, with the Citizens Advisory Committee. He's the chairman of that committee with the Lafayette Comprehensive Plan. More information at that website. Thank you.
Thank you.